Many folk gathered here tonight are already aware that this morning Mr. John Dunn went to be with the Lord. He was a man who had been associated with Mount Marion congregation for some 60 years, and in 1978 he was elected there as an elder, and he continued in that capacity for 44 years until he stepped down just a couple of years ago. He was a faithful elder there. He is a man who will be greatly missed, and I thought that on this special occasion for that little congregation, it would just be right to just say a few words about him. I can say honestly that he was always an encourager. I'm very glad to be able to say that our paths crossed whenever I come down to help out in Mount Marion. I always found him to be a very humble man, very gracious, a man who was very courteous and very sincere, and evidently, as many will testify, he was totally dedicated to the Lord's work in Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church. So tonight, on his passing, we offer our condolences to his wife Jean, to his son John, to his daughters Jackie and Christine, and the wider family circle, and assure them all of our prayerful support in the difficult days that lie ahead. And we're just going to have a very brief word of prayer and commit the Dunn family to the Lord, please. Lord, we thank thee tonight that we can commit the family that is mourning to thee. We do rejoice, Lord, as we remember John. We rejoice, Lord, in a life well lived. Lord, we reflect upon times of fellowship with a man who loved the Lord and loved the people. And Lord, we pray this evening for the family that have been left behind. We ask, Lord, that you'd pour in the oil of joy for mourning, give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and beauty for ashes. And we ask that even tonight, Lord, that John's wife and his children might know much of the Lord's presence, and in the coming days that they might know the consolation and the comfort that comes from Almighty God alone. So we commit them each one to thee now. And Lord, we thank thee again for the life and for the remembrance, Lord, of our brother John. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, as we commence our meeting tonight, I want to thank the minister in session of the Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church for the use of their building for this ordination and installation service. We certainly are indebted to them. I want also to welcome many members of the Story and Cunningham families along this evening, and we trust that it will be a blessed evening for you. We want to welcome you all from near and far. We have a good contingent here from Lauren's home church of Lisburn and also Jonathan's home church of Ballymoney, and we trust that each one will know the Lord's presence and blessing this evening. We're going to commence with the first hymn on our order of service. It is the hymn 263, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" And immediately after we sing this hymn, the Reverend Roger Higginson, the minister of Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church, will lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. And after that, the Reverend Ryan McKee, who's the minister in our Mockrafelt congregation, will come and read the scriptures. So we'll commence with our opening hymn, please.
Thank you. Now, just before we unite our hearts together in prayer, can I congratulate our brother Jonathan on this call to be the minister of Mount Marion. We wish God's servant God's richest blessing and the days that lie ahead. We love this man in the Lord, along with his wife Lauren and the family, and we pray that God will bless them richly, not only tonight, but on the Lord's Day and right throughout our brother's ministry in East Belfast. We will miss you, brother, from our church in Lisburn and Lauren as well, and we pray that God will encourage you and use you mightily in his service. Let's pray together. Let's invite the Lord to really bless us tonight and speak to your hearts, and let's pray for a real sense of the presence of the Lord here this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless thee for the words that we have just been singing. And Lord, even now in the Saviour's precious and worthy name, we approach with boldness the eternal throne. We thank thee for the invitation of thy word to come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we recognize, O God, that this tremendous privilege is only because of thy Son, because of his life and his atoning death, the shedding of his precious blood, his triumphant resurrection from the grave, his ascension into glory, and the fact that he is a great high priest who ever lives to intercede for his people. We thank thee, O God, tonight that we can say before the throne of God above, we have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. We thank thee, Lord, for our Saviour. We bless thee, O God, for his dying love for us upon a cross. And we thank thee, O God, that he, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that the child of God is loved with an everlasting love. And Lord God, tonight we pray that that love might be shed abroad within our hearts afresh. Thou wilt help us tonight again to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. We ask, O God, tonight that thou wilt send thy Spirit in all of his fullness and power. Lord, fill this meeting house tonight with thy presence. And grant, O God, tonight that each one who will take part in this meeting in any way might know the blessing of God and the anointing of the Spirit of God. As the scriptures are read, as words of greetings are brought from presbytery, as our brother Jonathan takes his vows to be ordained as a Christian minister, as our moderator opens the word of God, we pray that everything will dovetail together. We pray that thy word will come to our hearts tonight with clarity and with power and authority, and that, Lord, thou wilt speak to our hearts tonight and lead each one of us on with thyself. We thank thee, Lord, for our brother Jonathan. We thank thee, O God, for Lauren as well. We praise thee, O God, for the homes that they were born into. We thank thee, O God, that from their earliest days they were bathed and shrouded in an atmosphere of Christian love. And we thank thee, O God, that they were prayed for and the word of God was sown in their hearts whenever they were young. And we thank thee for bringing them to the cross, for saving them by thy grace, for bringing them together in life and in marriage. We thank thee for the leading of God in their lives. And we pray that as our brother Jonathan will commence his ministry, even this Lord's Day coming in East Belfast and Mount Marion, we pray that thou wilt use him, O God, in a wonderful way in a needy city. O God, we pray that the gospel will go forth with power. Thy servant will know grace and help every time he opens the book, every time he enters the study. Every time, Lord, he will do a pastoral visit or whatever form his ministry will take, we ask in Jesus' name that you will use him mightily. Make him to be a man of the word and a man of prayer. Fill him, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Bless his dear wife, Lauren. Remember little Isaac as well. Remember the respective family circles with all of their varying needs. We pray tonight, Lord, that thy servant will know an abundant blessing, Lord, even in this service, that he will go forth with the knowledge that the Lord has called him and the God who has called him will equip him. And Lord, we pray that many souls might be born again of the Spirit of God in that area of the Craigie Estate and the outlying areas. Lord, this city needs the Savior. Our land is far from God. And Lord, tonight we're hungry and thirsty for a move of thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name that thou will come. We think, Lord, of gospel missions that are on this very moment. We pray that you'll pour out of thy Spirit. Grant, Lord, that there might be a gracious turning of the tide. So, Lord, we leave ourselves now at thy feet. Just remember afresh the Dunn family. We thank thee for every remembrance of thy servant. Bless his dear wife and the family circle in these days. And Lord, give great grace and help. So Lord, be with us now. Continue with us. Pour out of thy Spirit. Bless the word of God as it goes forth. We ask it all in the Saviour's precious name for God's eternal glory. Amen.
We invite you to take your copy of the word of God and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. And as you're doing that, we do bring our greetings from our congregation in Mockerfeld. During our brother, Mr. Story's final year in college, he was with us in Mockerfeld for that year as a student assistant, and it was very clear that the Lord had given him special gifts for the ministry. And we were blessed through his preaching. Many testified of being really encouraged by his personal visitation. And we know the Lord will richly bless as you go to Mount Mary. And we're praying for you, brother, and for the church there, that we'll see great things done for the Lord in the days that lie ahead. We're reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and verse number 8. Let's hear the word of God. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. We pray, God, lad, blessing the public reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you very much, brethren. At our ordination services, there are prescribed questions which are put to the minister-elect. And we are very delighted tonight to have the Clerk of Presbytery, Reverend John Greer, here to put those questions to Mr. Story. And we're going to hand over now at this time to Mr. Greer.
A word of thanks to Reverend Salt for his kind words of welcome. It's my joy and privilege to be here to take part tonight in this way. I'd like to invite Mr. Story to come forward, please, to the pulpit and join me here. Now today, may I just say at this stage, three of us, moderator, Reverend Ian Brown, deputy moderator, and I myself had the privilege of going to visit Dr. S.B. Cook. He turned 95 today, and it was a joy to see him and to have a little time with him. And he was fully aware that you, Mr. Story, had been called to Mount Marion, where he used to minister way many, many years ago. And he was delighted, and he asked me just to mention this, that there is a young man now going to Mount Marion, and he is very happy about that and has been praying for you. And so I trust that will encourage you that a man like Dr. S.B. Cook, who's 95 years old, is fully aware of what's happening in Mount Marion. And I trust the Lord will bless you tonight. Congratulations to you. And we're going to go ahead now with these questions. This is always a very solemn time in an ordination service. The questions that will go to Mr. Story and he will answer are of a serious nature. It's a reminder to all of us, especially to the congregation over which he will minister, of the need to pray for our young men, that the Lord will bless them, and I trust you will take that to heart. Have you the experience of the new birth, and are you convinced of your call to the Christian ministry within the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster?
I have, and I am.
Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament not merely to contain, but to be the verbally inspired word of the living God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and believe the Westminster Standards and the Articles of Faith of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures?
I do.
Will you subscribe the said confessions and articles as a confession of your own faith?
I will.
Are you firmly resolved through divine grace to adhere to the doctrine contained in the said confessions and articles, and teach and defend it to the utmost of your power against all error?
I am.
Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in maintaining the truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in working for the purity and peace of the church, whatever persecution or opposition may arise unto you on that account?
I do.
Will you maintain at all costs to personal reputation and vain worldly popularity the distinctives of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster and the three fundamentals of the faith as set out by Dr. Henry Cook? The Trinity, the vicarious atonement of Christ, the necessity of the work of the Spirit to originate faith and repentance in the heart of man.
I will.
Will you maintain with all the strength God shall give you the position in biblical separation from apostasy as taken by the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster in 1951 at the time of its secession from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland?
I will.
As God helps you, will you expose and resist the continued apostasy from Christ manifested within Irish Presbyterianism, Methodism, Episcopalianism, and other visible church bodies, exhorting God's people to obey the teaching and commandment of 1 Timothy 6, 3-5.
I will.
As God helps you, will you expose and resist the errors of Romanism and all other false religions and the errors of Charismatism with all of its counterfeits of the genuine doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit?
I will.
As God helps you, will you give yourself to the constant study of Scripture, in order to edify the saints and win the lost to Christ in your ministry.
I will.
Do you affirm and promise to proclaim the free offer of the gospel?
I do.
Do you believe that it is only by the power of the infilling of the Holy Spirit that you can make full proof of your ministry?
I do.
Do you believe the Presbyterian government and discipline of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God? And do you promise to adhere to it and support it and to yield submission and be in subjection to your brethren as is taught in the Word of God?
I do.
Will you publicly expose and oppose the immorality and social vices of this present evil world, such as drinking, dancing, and gambling, and by example live righteously, soberly, and godly before all men?
I will.
Will you maintain the purity of the communion feast, and by all scriptural and lawful means resist any attempt to weaken the testimony of the Church in her stand for a born-again communicant membership?
I will.
Do you engage to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all private and personal duties which become you as a Christian and minister of the gospel, as well as on all relative duties and the public duties of your office, endeavoring to adorn the profession of the gospel by your conversation and walking with exemplary piety before the flock over which God shall make you overseer? And are you now willing to take charge of the Mount Marian congregation, promising to discharge the duties of the pastor to them as God shall give you strength?
I do, and I am.
Amen. I will now hand over to our moderator, the Reverend Samuel Murray, who will oversee the subscription of the confession and lead in prayer.
Mr. Jonathan Storey, having answered the prescribed questions, will now sign the following. I believe the Westminster Confession and the Articles of Faith of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God, and as such, I subscribe them as the confession of my own faith. Our brother, having received a call from this congregation to be their minister, that is Mount Marian Free Presbyterian Church, and that call having been sustained by a vote of the presbytery, we now move to his ordination and installation. Could I ask, therefore, that all of the ministers and elders, full members of our presbytery, would you please come to the front for the laying on of hands? We're going to go down to the front at the communion table. I'd like the congregation to please stand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great head and sole King of the Church, and by that authority which he has given to the Church for its edification, we do ordain you to the work of the gospel ministry and install you as minister of this congregation. And for this purpose, may the blessing of God rest upon you and the Spirit of God fill your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Let us all unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our gracious God, we bow humbly and reverently in thy holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this solemn occasion, this scriptural occasion. We thank thee, Lord, that we gather together to ordain our brother, Mr. Storey, to serve Christ as a minister of the gospel in the Free Presbyterian Church. Lord, this is not just another meeting. This is a very significant time. And I pray that thy Holy Spirit will descend upon all of us and upon our brother in particular. Amen. And that we'll be conscious that what we are doing tonight is the will of God.
Amen.
For the glory of God and for the extension of Christ's kingdom on this earth.
Amen.
We pray for our brother. We pray that Mr. Storey will know the anointing of God in his life at this very moment. Lord, we pray, come upon him.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, that his first Lord's Day in Mount Merion will be a time of great blessing.
Yes.
When the preaching of the word will be with power and the demonstration of the gospel. And Lord, we pray that the congregation will know we've got a man of God.
Amen.
Lord, they have called him. But our prayer is that they would be absolutely thrilled this Lord's Day. Maybe even surprised and saying, we've got a better man than we thought. Lord, grant great power to this brother. We pray that he'll be a soul winner here in Belfast. Lord, we realize that there are much people in this city, but unfortunately, so many of them are given over to sin, to corruption, depravity, to vice. But Lord, there's a deliverer. Christ is the deliverer. And our brother has come to Mount Merion and to the Craigie Estate and to East Belfast to preach the deliverance of Christ from the snares of the devil and from sin itself. We pray, Lord, that the captives will be set free as this man preaches the gospel. Bless his wife and his little one. We pray that they'll settle into the ministry instantly. That, Lord, there'll not even be a time of bedding in, but rather may it be a case of straight into the work, enjoying the work, and seeing the fruit of their labor. May everything they say and do in Mount Merion be glorifying to King Jesus. So we leave our brother in thy hands, in thy care, and we pray that the days ahead will be blessed days for Mr. Storey, his wife, his family, and the family of God in Mount Merion.
Amen.
We pray in Christ's name. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Sorry, brother. You go ahead. Congregation may be seated, by the way. Thanks, David.
Among those visiting tonight on this special occasion, we're very glad to have the Reverend David Park, who is a minister of Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church. That is the church where Mr. Story spent his childhood. At this point, we're going to ask Mr. Park to come and bring greetings from Presbytery. Then immediately after that, the Reverend Story will come and give a short word of testimony.
He didn't say I'm going to bring a short greeting, but a short word of testimony. And I was just thinking that it changes now from Mr. Story to the Reverend Story, and we certainly congratulate him. Our Presbytery brings greetings to this meeting tonight, having accepted Jonathan for ministerial training at the Whitfield College of the Bible and brought him through the 4 years of study, licensed him to preach, and overseen the call to Mount Merion. We now have met tonight to ordain him to the Christian ministry and install him into the congregation at Mount Merion. And so this is a great night. It's a great night for the young minister, and it's a great night for the congregation too. The city of Belfast certainly needs preachers, preachers called of God, preachers who have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who are filled with power and grace, who are zealous and wise in the work of the ministry. And so the presbytery would say with the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to young Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And we would urge you, Jonathan, to do the work of an evangelist, so important in this city, and make full proof of your ministry. There's a mighty work, I believe, there's a mighty work before you here. And we are here as a presbytery to help you, to encourage you, and to strengthen your hand in whatever way we can. And so we pray the Lord will bless you, Jonathan, and bless Lauren, and bless Isaac. He's still sleeping, behaving so well tonight. I first met Jonathan Story on the 11th of February, 1998, when he was 1 day old. And I've known him all his life, therefore, and that's been a privilege. The Story family have been long associated with the work in Ballymoney, with the Free Presbyterian work, and their children were all brought up in the church. And it's been my privilege to have been their pastor for just over 27 years. And our thoughts are with Lydia tonight too. It's lovely that she's able to be here. Many of you will know of her recent diagnosis and the treatment that she's going through. So just delighted, Lydia, to see you here. And delighted that Philip has also made it and come across. We remember Jonathan coming into the world. We remember him being dedicated to the Lord, growing up in the church, attending all the meetings, growing into the good and the godly young man that he has become. I remember him coming to the Lord, the greatest day in his life when he was saved by the grace of God. And he labored in the church. He got involved in whatever way he could. And he also had a great love for the mission field and served the Lord in Africa and came with us several times to Romania. We had young men in the church at that time. We still do. But back then, we had young men that were full of promise and potential. And we called them choice young men. I preached a sermon from Daniel on four choice young men, because we read about four choice young men there. And for us, that was Joshua, Chris, Aaron, and Jonathan. And others were there, of course. But these four men in particular, and we knew that God had something for them to do. Joshua, the Reverend Joshua Moffat, is now in the ministry, serving the Lord in Bangor. Chris is training for the ministry over in Scotland. And Jonathan has been called to the Lord and prepared himself in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And we continue to pray for Aaron that the Lord will bless him in every way. And these young men grew up together. They were just like family. And they all served the Lord in the church. And they went on outreach. And they went to the mission field. So I can not only speak on behalf of the presbytery tonight, I speak on behalf of the Hebron congregation where Jonathan grew up. Our session, our committee, and our congregation are delighted tonight in what is happening here And we will give him and Lauren as much encouragement as we can. There's a vast population to be reached in the Mount Marion area. I've already said to Jonathan, we're happy to come down and send this to our youth leader, bring a group of young people and help with some visitation and go out there and invite others to come in. It's already been mentioned Dr. S.B. Cook was the first minister in Mount Marion, and he's 95 today. So I think it's very fitting that this ordination and installation service takes place on Dr. Cook's birthday at 95, and as it has been alluded to already, he has a very clear mind. You know, some of us will be hoping at 75 we'll have a very clear mind, but we do rejoice in this. I finish just by telling you that I wrote to Jonathan this morning to wish him well and to assure him of our prayers, telling him that it was our desire that the Lord would make him a good minister of Jesus Christ, that he would be filled with the Spirit of God, and that the Lord would grant him many tokens for good. I passed on my lifelong motto text from 1 Corinthians 15:58: "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And our sincere prayer is that the Lord will make him an abounding pastor who is steadfast and unmovable. Lord bless you, Jonathan, and Lauren, and little Isaac. Amen.
Well, I just want to begin tonight by thanking everyone that has come out tonight to support our family as we take up the work in Mount Marion. Your presence here tonight is a great encouragement to us, and we thank you for being here. Also to everyone, and there was many messages that I wasn't able to reply to all of them. My apologies if that was you. If you're listening online, my apologies. There's so many messages of people assuring us of the prayers of God's people. We want to thank you as well, and it's one of the greatest needs that we have is the prayers of God's people. I would like to thank the men that agreed to take part this evening. I would like to thank the moderator, Reverend Murray, and the clerk of presbytery, Reverend Greer. I want to thank you for taking part. I'm going to thank the rest of them, but they come in a wee bit's time. There's too many people to thank this evening, so please bear with me. I hope I don't miss anyone out. I do want to thank the Reverend Brown and the session here in Martyrs for the use of the building here this evening. And I would like to thank the two congregations that I've had the privilege of being a part of. The congregation and session at Ballymoney, who has always encouraged me, challenged me, and supported me. And also my adopted congregation, as I like to fondly know them as, my adopted congregation in Lisburn and the session there, where I've been blessed for the past number of years. To the Reverend Park, thank you. Don't know where you went. To the Reverend Park, thank you for always encouraging me and challenging me from the Word of God and instilling in myself and many others a zeal for the Lord's work. To the Reverend Higginson, thank you for taking time over these past years to always encourage me from the Scriptures and always give very sound advice, and for taking me out for a fry or two. That's been very much appreciated. You can do that more often if you want. To the Reverend McKee as well, for taking me on as his student assistant. And I want to thank him for every opportunity he gave me to serve in the Macrofelt congregation and the session there as well. I want to thank them. To Reverend Salt, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak in Mount Marion. And thank you for organizing so much this evening to make tonight possible. I want to thank the Mount Marion congregation for putting their faith in me to be their minister. Mount Marion was the very first church that I ever preached in. I don't know if you know that. Very first church I was ever given the opportunity to preach in back in the summer of 2018. Mr. Park alluded to the mission trips that we would have went on to Romania, and I remember it very clearly. We were sitting there, morning devotions, and I got the call. Didn't get the call back then, but I got a text, and then I got a call from the pastor asking me to come and speak at the service there, and I'm as nervous now as I was all those years ago, but I am excited to see what the Lord will do in Mount Marion in the coming years. And I pray that we'll see the Lord work and the Lord move in the Craigie estate with salvation. And we pray that he'll build up his church as well. Please pray, as has already been mentioned, for the Dunn family. Pray for them as John has passed away. Pray that they would know much grace this time. And I pray that together as a pastor and congregation that we'll have many years of blessing together as a family of Christ. I want to thank the Reverend Ian for agreeing to be my senior minister, and I look forward to much wisdom and much guidance from you, brother. God has blessed me with so many friends. Now, I have to admit, last time I was in the pulpit and the last time I thanked some of these guys, I started to sob. I started to bawl my eyes out. So, I'll get the tissue. I have it at the ready. And I'm just going to wipe the eyes now so that it's done, so that it's dusted. Chris, Aaron, Josh, close brothers in Christ, you've been with me since we were young. Thank you. And there it starts. The fellas in college, thank you for being always close, always at hand. It's been a delight getting to know you, and Greg and Dave especially, who have bolstered me in my walk with the Lord. And Steve and Kyle, your encouragement and friendship over these past years, it's been a real encouragement. My family tonight, this tissue's going to be wet by the time I'm finished. Mum and Dad, for the love and support you've given me for the past 26 years and the upbringing, I'm eternally thankful. My brother, sister, brother-in-law, thank you for all that you've done for me, all the encouragement you've been to me. And Alan and Caroline, David and Norma, George and Lorraine, my extended family, I was never felt like an outsider when I was with you. Thank you to my wonderful wife for being a constant friend, support, and someone to bounce all my silly ideas and thoughts off. Thank you. And I pray that as we begin the work of Mount Meron, we'll be drawn closer to the Lord. I'm going to give a very brief word of testimony. I've already rambled enough. I've already rambled quite a lot. A very brief word of testimony, and honestly, it's so cliche, but I had the privilege of being brought up in a godly home, a privilege of attending a Christian school, yet none of these things could save me. None of these things were enough for my salvation. When I was younger, I remember Mr. Park spoke on the subject of the broad and narrow way, and those two ways and where they would lead. And that evening, I felt the fear of going to hell without being saved, but that's all it was. It was a fear of ending up in the wrong place and not being in heaven. And so that evening, I made a profession of faith, but sadly, that's all it was. It was a profession of faith and not true possession of salvation in Christ. And I wonder how many in here this evening are perhaps in that same boat. You've made a profession of faith, but you do not truly possess Jesus Christ as your Savior. It wasn't until I was older in 2016 that I truly came to possess Christ as my Savior. Again, the Reverend Park, he spoke and preached the gospel faithfully, and he spoke on Judas Iscariot, the many great privileges he enjoyed, and yet he went out to a lost eternity, never truly possessing salvation in Jesus Christ. And I realized that night, by the help of the Holy Spirit who enlightened me, that that evening I was doing the exact same thing, squandering privileges, squandering blessings that God had given to me. And that evening I came to possess Christ as my Savior, trusting not in a prayer, trusting not in something that I had done, not in something that I had worked up, but trusting in the perfect and complete atonement that Jesus made for my sins on the cross. I did not deserve to be saved. I still don't deserve to be saved. I do not know why God revealed his grace to me. It's a question I will ponder until the Lord brings me to his presence in glory. But I'm so thankful for the love that he continues to show to me, to my family. And since then, the Lord has given me many opportunities to serve him. He led me to Bible college through the verse in Genesis 37, verse 14. It says there, he said unto him, "Go, I pray thee." That was Jacob said to Joseph. "Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And that really called me into the ministry, to go out from Hebron, to go out from my congregation, and to proclaim the wonderful news of Christ. God was so good to me throughout my time in Bible college. He gave me knowledge and understanding that I needed through those years. And this Sunday, I intend to give a fuller word of testimony. I know this hasn't been a full word of testimony. If you want to hear it, you're more than welcome. 7 p.m. in Mount Meron this Sunday. Everyone will be welcome. But it was then on Tuesday, the 23rd of January, I received a phone call from the Reverend Salt. He informed me of the vote that took place in Mount Meron that evening, and that I was the one whom the Lord laid in their heart to be their minister. I was in shock, and I can tell you the first feeling I felt was fear, kind of the feeling that I'm feeling right now in this pulpit. But it was fear of being inadequate for the work, fear of not being what the congregation needed me to be. And the next morning I was reading in my quiet time in daily light, and 1 Thessalonians 5:24 came up. And it says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, he will also do it." This gave me peace and assurance, but it wasn't until I read 2 Timothy 1:7 in my devotions. And it says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I believe that that was the Lord speaking to that fear that I felt in becoming the minister in Mount Marion. And so, in closing, please pray for me. It is a high calling. I am not sufficient for these things, truly. I am not sufficient. But God has promised in his word that his grace is sufficient. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed for that very clear word of testimony, Mr. Story. And at this point, I just want to join with those who've spoken before in wishing our brother, Reverend Story, every blessing in the days that lie ahead as he settles into the ministry in Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church. I've really only, I suppose, been speaking to Jonathan a few times before I was the interim moderator in Mount Marion Church, and I've always found him to be a very gracious and unassuming individual. I met Lauren when I first came to Agalee almost 19 years ago, and she was only about 2 then, isn't that right, Lauren? Well, a wee bit more than that, but we met her then, she was just a little girl, and we're delighted for them all, for the both of them, and for their little boy tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless them richly in this different life that they've now entered into in serving the Lord in a full-time capacity. So we wish you well, Jonathan. And we trust that the Lord will, early on in your ministry there, give you tokens of his favour. And tonight I also want to just say that I wish to pay tribute to the Mount Marion congregation. When I went there just about a year ago to help out, from the very first night, they have always been very pleasant and gracious and friendly to me. I have right away, when I took up that post, I sensed that there was sincerity among them, and they wanted a minister, and they wanted things to work out well. And as I went down week by week, certainly we knew the Lord's presence. I will miss those prayer meetings, and I'm sure they will miss my stories every week almost about my broken down cars and how I had to borrow my wife's, and then when I broke it, I borrowed one of my son's, and then I had to leave it in Mount Marion car park because I broke it as well. And all of those things, they were good days for me, and I want to thank them for their kindness. Also want to pay tribute to the committee there, for the men who have been very kind and friendly to me as well, and also to the men who are the current oversight, and for their help to me and encouragement, and in the thoughts that we had regarding the work. They allowed me to do what I had to do to get to where we are tonight without any problem, and I want to thank them very much indeed for that. Just a few announcements to make now, and I will be very brief. We want to again welcome you all in the Saviour's name tonight. We trust you're enjoying the meeting so far, and that you will continue to know the Lord's presence with you this evening. Also to the wider audience that are watching online, we thank you for doing that. We trust wherever you are that the night's meeting will be a blessing to you. There have been several of our brethren in the ministry who were not able to make it tonight, and they've sent their apologies and their good wishes to the Story family and to the Mount Marion congregation. I'm just going to name them. The Reverends Timothy Omerod, Simon Anderson, Julian Patterson, Ron Johnston, Jim Harton, Nathan McVeigh, and John Woods. And those men have assured me that they will be praying for the Story family and for the congregation there in Mount Marion. And could I say, just as I did, welcome the congregation. We also welcome all the colleagues in the ministry that are here tonight, and those who were in the pulpit here as well. And thank you very much indeed on behalf of Mount Marion congregation for coming along to the meeting. Could I say that immediately after the service tonight, there will be supper, but the supper will be served upstairs over in the Jubilee complex, and we want to thank everyone who has in any way been involved in that. At this time, we're going to have another hymn. You'll see on your order of service the hymn, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way, When Sorrows Like Sea Billows Roll." We'll keep our seats initially as we sing this hymn, while your offering is taken up. The offering tonight will go to the Mount Marian Church and will help them there with the expenses involved in tonight and so on. So we're going to keep your seats initially for this hymn, please. Stand, please, for the remainder of the hymn.
Thank you.
may be seated. We're very glad tonight to have along the Reverend Samuel Murray, who is the current moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church. Mr. Murray is going to come now and bring the charge to the newly installed minister and to the congregation just at this time.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Salt. I'd like you all to turn with me now, please, in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. It is an honour and a privilege to be here and to share with the Mount Merion folk and all of the friends of the Reverend and Mrs. Story this evening. It's a joy to be here with you, and thank you all for coming. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Please look at verse 27 and go right down to the end of the verse, to the last line. But I am among you as he that serveth. Let's all bow together in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we pray now as we come to thy word that thou wilt be pleased to speak to us, that thou wilt grant me help from on high, and that the message will be a blessing from the Lord to the Reverend Story and to the folk in Mount Merion and to all who have assembled to support this wonderful occasion. We pray for thy help now in the preaching and in the hearing of the word. These things we ask in the Saviour's wonderful name. Amen. Amen. In this chapter of Holy Scripture, the narrative travels from that which is solemn to that which is sad, from a time of thanksgiving to a time of trouble, from a sanctifying occasion to an occasion of strife. At the start of the chapter, the Lord Jesus partook of the Passover feast along with his disciples. We read in verse 15, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." As Christ and the disciples remembered the night that the death angel visited Egypt, passing over the Israelite homes that were protected by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was soon to come. He would be crucified the next day. The Passover, therefore, was both a memorial to the deliverance in Egypt and also a prophetic type of the sacrifice of Christ. Nothing brings greater solemnity to our hearts than meditating upon the death of the sacrificial lamb, the substitute for our sin. Daniel Webster Whittle fought in the American Civil War. He marched through Georgia with General Sherman's forces. He then became associated with the evangelistic campaigns of D.L. Moody. Whittle penned the following beautiful words. They're contained in our own hymn book. He penned these words: "By Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, the precious blood was shed when he fulfilled God's holy word and suffered in our stead. The wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid, and by the shedding of his blood, the debt for us was paid." When we sing words like these at the Lord's table, our hearts melt in love for the one who offered himself to the cruel death of the cross to deliver us from the curse of the law. Now, can you therefore imagine, can you therefore countenance coming from a service like this and starting to squabble or to strive with other Christians? I should think not. Well, this unthinkable activity is precisely what happened on this occasion in Luke chapter 22. The Lord informed the disciples that one of them would betray him. And then we read, if you look at verse 23 and verse 24, "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. They started out discussing who it was that was going to betray the Lord. Of course, none of them thought it was going to be them, and they're asking these questions, expecting the answer to come back, oh, it couldn't be you, it definitely wouldn't be you. So there's this discussion, but this discussion develops, and it develops into a strife then concerning who should be accounted the greatest. The word strife in verse 24 means a dispute or a quarrel. They've been remembering the power of the blood to deliver from the judgment and wrath of God. And all of a sudden, they're quarreling, striving. It's almost frightening to think that after the Lord Jesus spent 3 years of his life with these men, after they saw the character of the blessed Lord on display in almost every conceivable circumstance, that now, at the final hours before his betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion, they argued about who should be the greatest. How inconsistent is this when you consider the verse before? One minute they're inquiring who's going to be the traitor, and the next minute they're inquiring who's going to be in charge. Could such an example of humility and such an example of pride be found in the same men at the same time? It's like dirty water and clean water coming from the same tap at the same time. What a self-contradiction the deceitful heart of man is. Well, the attitude of the disciples was more like the world than the attitude of the Christian. You see, in the world, competition, authority, these are important to success. But in the kingdom of God, greatness is measured by how many you serve, not how many serve you. The response of Christ to this dispute is not what you might expect. He was not sharp with them, but mildly showed them the sin and folly of their behavior. We might think that the Lord Jesus Christ would have settled the issue by pointing out to the fact that he was the greatest, and of course he was. But instead, he answered their question about who should be the greatest by doing something. And in John 13, 3 through 5, we are told that he washed their feet after supper. This is the answer to the question. He washes their feet. We read in John 13, verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. Here Christ showed them how they ought to feel and act toward each other. They ought not to aim at high office and power, but to be humble and serve and help one another. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon him the form of a servant, and instead of being ministered unto, he ministered to others. He taught them by word and by example to lovingly serve one another. Proud, sinful man wants to be to the fore. He wants to be the head honcho, but that is far removed from the spirit and actions of our Lord. It is far removed from what he taught. He said in the words of our text, I am among you as he that serveth. So tonight there are 3 points I want to highlight from this statement. I hope that you will see in what Christ did something of what the Reverend Story is called to do, and something of what the church family in Mount Merion is also called to do. First of all, there's the explanation of Christ. He gives the explanation. He says in verse 27, I am among you as he that serveth. Now, the statement here from the lips of the Son of God is self-explanatory. It explains what he came to do. His explanation could not have been clearer. Now, this is amazing. The second person of the Trinity The incarnate God is sitting in the midst of his disciples, those whom he created. They are arguing about which of them should be the greatest. And what does he do? He washes their feet. What does he say? I am among you as he that serveth. I came to serve you. There is another place in God's word where this aspect of the Savior's life and work is explained negatively. Matthew 20 and 28, here's what it says. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Greek word there for ministered and minister, in this verse, it's the exact same Greek word for serveth in our text. So, we are looking at the same activity in Luke 22 and Matthew 20. Therefore, the one who came to serve and minister did not come to be served or to be ministered unto. Now, that does not mean that we're not to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course not. These statements must be understood in the context of Christ coming into the world to live a sinless life, to die on the cross, to save his people, and to empower them to live the Christian life. Paul describes all of this beautifully, perfectly, in Philippians 2. He says of Christ, Christ made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The apostle there refers to the humiliation of Christ, the humility of Christ, the obedience of Christ, the death of Christ. What an example to us. As the chorus of the hymn says, he did it all for me. Each drop of blood he shed for even me. When my Savior cried, bowed his head and died, oh, praise the Lord, he did it all for me. You see, the service of Christ involved suffering, bleeding, and dying. He became a poor servant that we might become rich beneficiaries of his grace. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Our Savior did not come with pomp and glory. He came in humility. The Prince of Peace came unlike any earthly prince. They are born into palaces. He was born in a stable. They are wheeled upon hand and foot. Servants serve them. But Christ did not require men to minister unto him, for he came to serve them. He came to labor for them. He fared as poorly as they did. He went out and protected them from danger and suffering. He practiced self-denial on their account. And he laid down his life. He was the servant. And that's the spirit that must inspire our brother, the Reverend Story, and every minister of the gospel here tonight, myself included. I must have the spirit of the servant. It's the spirit that will inspire the Mount Merian people to be up and doing. The Christ who served and ministered for me, he's worthy of my service and my ministry. Let's move on to the example of Christ, not just the explanation, but the example. You see, the Greek word for serve or minister that I've already referred to, it's pronounced diakonio. The word means to be an attendant, that is, to wait upon, either menially or as the host. To act as a Christian deacon, or to use the office of a deacon, to serve. It means to render any kind of service. The reference, therefore, is to someone who is not in authority, but under authority. Under authority. Isn't it amazing? The omnipotent Son of God and God the Son puts himself not on a par with the Master. That's what he deserves. But he puts himself on a par with the servant. If we are to serve Christ, we must follow that example. We are not to seek prominence or power. The Lord Jesus Christ is the model for our ministry, and he was a servant. When the Savior was upon the earth, the Romans, they vied for honors and did all they could, legally or illegally, to win promotion and win recognition. Anything for power, anything for prominence, anything for elevation, that was the Romans. But they're not the examples we follow, as in all things. Christ must be our example. He completely reversed the measure of true greatness. Because truly great people are servants, not masters. Let me give you a couple of examples of Christ's service. Do you remember in Luke 19 and verse 7, the people of Jericho, they looked upon Zacchaeus as such a sinful man that decent people wouldn't even darken his door. But the Bible says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. This man was a sinner. Was he such a bad sinner that Christ wouldn't go to serve him and reach him? No, he was not. Christ went where others were not willing to go. We should be prepared to do anything to rescue the perishing. Are we? Are we willing to serve? In the country of the Gadarenes, the Lord showed his compassion by reaching out to deliver Legion, a man with an unclean spirit, a man who could snap chains. He ran through tombs, crying, self-harming. This man struck terror into the hearts of the people of that area, a man to be avoided. Did Christ avoid him? No, he did not. He went to reach him and serve him and deliver him and save him. He had the heart of the servant. We read in Luke chapter 17, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You know that story, don't you? The 10 leprous men. And being omniscient, Christ knew that only one out of the 10 would return to thank him for what he had done. He knew that. Did that prevent him from healing those 10? No. Why? He had a loving heart. He was among them as one that served. One that served. True greatness means to be like Christ. That means to be a servant of other people. A servant doesn't argue over who is the greatest because he knows that he's the least. He accepts his position. He accepts the hand of God in ordaining where he is. And he gets on with serving. And since all Christians are to be servants, there's no reason for us to compete with one another for honors or for recognition. It's regrettable when Christians do that. We are an army of servants. That's what we are. Living as a servant really is the best way to live. When we do that, we are no longer concerned for our own honor or credit. We don't walk around with hurt feelings and disappointed expectations. Why? Because we're servants and we accept that and we get on with it. We get on with it. That's what God has called us to do and to be. The explanation of Christ, the example of Christ, that's exactly what he did. Finally, the energizing of the Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, was a servant. We have seen how this manifested itself in his life. By the grace of God, this same spirit must be manifested in our lives. However, only by looking to Christ will we be energized to be like Christ. We read in Matthew 20, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Minister there in verse 26 is a servant of any kind, actually. One especially who served at the table, but in the New Testament, one who serves the church. A minister serves the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he does. Preachers of the gospel are called ministers because they are servants of God and servants of the church. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what we're called to do. 2 Corinthians 6:3-4, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. This ministry is an office which forbids us to lord it over God's heritage. We must not do that. We must have humility in order to be servants. The fact that we are ministers of God should write that solemnly upon our hearts. We are not called to lift up ourselves. We are called to lift up the Lord. We are not called to promote ourselves. We are called to perfect the saints. We are not called to elevate ourselves, but to edify the body of Christ. That's our calling. So, to the Reverend Story, I would say, you will be energized by the power of the Holy Ghost to make full proof of your ministry insofar as you keep looking to Christ. That's the first thing. Insofar as you preach his wonderful gospel. That's the second thing. And insofar as you serve your congregation as Christ would serve them if he were here bodily right now. That's the third thing. May these thoughts ever be with you, brother. I know that you're a humble young man. I've been touched by your response to your call in presbytery. I've told you that. I've been touched by his response before us tonight. He has shown humility. God has called the Reverend Story to serve Christ and serve the church. He will need the help of the Lord to do that. There'll be problems along the way, but the Lord will be with him. And to the folk in Mount Merion, I would say, you back him. You serve God alongside him and with him. Don't leave him to do it all on his own. He can't. He just can't do that. He'll need your help, your prayer support, your backing. May he not be standing on his own serving. But may there be a people with him, behind him, praying for him, backing him. May the Lord bless the church and their new minister. Amen. Amen. Let's bow together in a brief word of prayer before I hand over to your new minister, the Reverend Jonathan Story. Father in heaven, bless thy word to all of our hearts. Apply thy word to all of our hearts. May we leave this place with the determination that we're going to serve. May we serve him because we love him. And may nothing be too much for us to do because of Calvary love. Help us to have the Spirit of Christ. May he increase May we decrease, and may we follow his teaching and be a servant of all. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Murray, for that message. We're going to close with the words of the hymn 387. My heart is fixed, eternal God, fixed on thee, and my immortal choice is made, Christ, for me. We'll stand while we sing this wonderful hymn together. Offering this evening came to £1,338, and we thank you sincerely from the Mount Marion congregation. We thank you for your giving to the work there. I'm going to ask Dad if he'll now close in a word of prayer.
Our loving and eternal Heavenly Father, as we come to the conclusion of the time spent in the house of God, we raise our Ebenezer to thee. And we give thee the thanks and the praise for thy goodness to us. We thank thee for all the way that thou hast led. And we rejoice that once again we have been encouraged and challenged from the word of God. We pray that thou wilt make us those humble servants to serve the one who served us, the one who gave his life for us. And our loving Father, as Jonathan sets out in the ministry in Mount Marion, We pray that thou wilt make him that servant and fill him with the power of God the Holy Spirit. We pray for the congregation on Mount Merion, that they will be pleased to know the benediction of heaven in the days that lie before them. And so, our loving Father, we give thee thanks for all that has been said and done in this time spent in the house of God. And we pray that thou wilt bless and receive of our thanks the good things that have been provided for us. And afterwards, in thy will and in thy mercy, take us to our homes in safety. And our loving Father, should there be one here this evening, and they still do not know the one who loved them and gave himself for them, may this be the night when they will call upon the Saviour and come to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. We pray and ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.
Just have one other matter to see to tonight. I did mention earlier on that we have been working down there with the deacons in Mount Merion. They've always been men who have showed themselves to be very steady and to be very committed to the witness there. One of those men is here tonight, Mr. David Osborne, who is going to come now and say a few words at this time, please.
I would like to thank everybody for coming tonight. At a recent service, the congregation expressed their appreciation to the Reverend Salt for his faithful service as interim moderator. However, tonight we want to publicly acknowledge our gratitude to him for his time with us in Mount Merion. It is my pleasure and privilege on behalf of the Mount Merion Free Presbyterian Congregation to welcome you, Reverend Jonathan Storey, as our minister. You will find the congregation is a close-knit, friendly family, and we trust you and your family will feel very much at home among us. And I assure you, the members will seek to make you welcome. We look forward with anticipation to the commencement of your ministry, and we promise to pray for and support you in your labours. And on behalf of the congregation, I want to present this Bible to you as a reminder of this historic and joyous occasion. And I would like to call Mrs. Storey, please, and Miss Alwyn McLaren, could come forward.
Congregation, and may the Lord bless you richly in everything you do as you serve him here in Mount Merion. Welcome to the congregation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David and Alwyn. At this point, you can all go for your supper, apart from those who were taking part in the meeting. There will be some photographs just now, right away, and also Mr. Storey's family, some of them would be involved in that as well. So trust you'll enjoy your supper tonight, and you can go on ahead over to the complex now. Thank you.